We're back. It's a takes episode. We're back. With a takes episode. We're back. Someone else.
With a takes episode. We're back.
And George.
No.
Oh. Right. Takes.
I am single. I did get drunk. I did buy Tinder Prime and I fully regretted it. But yeah, here we go.
Little Messi drove my nana to drink.
Yeah, he sells Hot Wheels out of his jacket.
I'd like to think that he knew that John Terry was a huge Saturdays fan.
And that Campbell Soup is a big deal. LA is Jay from In Between Us.
Luigi, don't quit your day job, mate.
Who do you think is more handsome?
Xabi Alonso.
Pirlo.
If you say it with chest.
Sorry, you just have to guess. Do you want to go to the toilet? You ever seen a baby pigeon?
He was good mates with Pablo Escobar, from what I read.
Mara who, sorry?
You're a pair of twats, you know that.
Hello, and welcome to the Nostalgia FC podcast with me, Zordon.
Oh, bottled okay. Straight away. Okay. Right, let's cut that. Right, hello, welcome to the Nostalgia FC podcast with your hosts, me, Drew.
Me, George.
And me, Owen.
We are back again as a trio to do some takes. It's a takes episode, everybody. Owen has gathered, or Zordon, as he's just called himself there. We have collected some takes, ready to berate them on a podcast format, as you might expect so far. We've done two so far. Some absolutely outrageous takes given on both of them. Usually, obviously, the podcast that we do is with a guest. But for now, we're back with some takes. So, before we go into some takes, what's changed in the world of football in the last month? Well, United are still bad. Wrexham?
Worse, if anything. Wrexham are not playing well, but they're third in the League Two, so...
Nice. Liverpool, again, not playing very well, but third in the Premier League, so that's good.
Can we just quickly talk about, I don't know if it's a month, is Liverpool's horrendous decision that went against them?
Oh, the Tottenham one?
Yeah.
Yep. Let's talk about VAR. Yeah, that's a big topic at the moment, isn't it? Liverpool got shafted by VAR last night as well. Yep. United did as well with Rashford and the handballs.
Yep.
It turns out VAR, bad idea. Turns out video assistant referees are only as good as the referees watching the video.
Did you see that they released the footage of what they were saying in the thing? It was like, He was like, yep, that's offside. Carry on.
Yeah, he's like,
wait, you need to go back.
It's just one of them goes, oh, fuck. It's just very funny. It's like a comedy sketch, really. The whole thing is like a comedy sketch.
It did sound like an Alan Partridge. Like,
I'd love to have a go just to see.
How difficult it is.
For me, watching it on the TV, if we're watching the same angles as them, how do they get it so wrong?
Yeah.
Now they've got more angles, clearly, because they've got like all the different camera views, haven't they?
It just blows my mind that I don't know why they don't try and like loan some rugby referees, because they get it nailed on every time from what I see.
That's what I'd love to hear is the, like they do in rugby, is we can hear the conversation between them and the TMO.
Yeah. Well, they did it in the Women's World Cup this year. They had the referees, you could hear them speak it. They would announce to the crowd what the decision was and why.
After that's because Australia don't know how to play football. I shouldn't say that. I'm trying to get a guest from Born Offside.
Oh, dear. But no, I think VAR is just poor. It's poorly operated. It wasn't very well thought out. It's quite funny now that everyone that was begging for it is now going, terrible this. And I think, if anything, it pushes me closer back to grassroots football, where there isn't any of that. If someone gets the leg broken in half, fair play, get the magic sponge out, off we go.
Yeah.
Speaking of VAR, it does lead me nicely into some takes that I have received.
Wow, what a coinkydink.
What a coincidence. That. From Chris Roberts in Abergele.
Whoa!
Hey!
That's my dad.
Yep. It said that
clearly reaching far.
Yep. The referees deserve more power, and since VAR, all of the decisions that referees have been taken away, so they may as well not even be there.
Yeah, you know what? Good job, Chris. You won't listen to this, so we can say whatever we want about him, but I think it's a good take.
Yeah, I think so too, because I always think as soon as they say to a referee, you should go look this, the referee's already then got in his head, oh, I've made a mistake. So they're already going into watching that going, I've made a mistake here. So they're more like 90% of the time, they're going to be like, yeah, I was wrong. Even if they were right originally.
It's right though. If you're going to have the VARs basically controlling everything, why is the referee even there?
Yeah.
Just have a drone with a whistle.
Hate to see that.
These are the malfunctions.
My dad also sent in a similar cleaner. My dad also sent in a similar take, saying he's pretty much what Chris has said, but saying that he thinks that VAR should only be used in like off-ball incidents and to call back play, like they do in rugby union. So you're not disrupting the flow of the game going forward. It's only used to get things that the referee's going to miss.
Yeah, I just think like the main point of it really is, isn't it, that or how is it that the standard of refereeing has gone so down that nine times out of ten, every Premier League weekend, that's all that anyone's ever talking about. It's not even talking about football anymore. It's just, oh, did you see what this referee did this weekend?
I also hate the whole celebration, oh wait, VAR, let's see if it's a goal. Yes, it is a goal. Celebrate again.
The second celebration is always really sad.
Yeah, because like the one player is celebrating and everyone else has just sort of gone, we lost it a little bit, sorry.
We'll just get back to position.
Was it, who did Newcastle beat recently?
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Was it Arsenal? Yeah, it was, because it's one that Arteta's going mad about. So they waited for ages, and that one, to be fair, they did celebrate like a big goal after they'd done it. So that was the only example I've seen of a club actually celebrating after a long VAR check. But I suppose that's just Newcastle being mental, isn't it? Good take, though, Chris. Good take.
And
Dad,
Mark.
Sorry.
Well done, Dad.
Good job, Dads.
Did my dad have anything to say on VAR? I think he's given up with this podcast, to be honest.
Yeah, if he did,
I don't think he's listened
in
a while. Come on, Glenn.
It's left there on red. Harsh.
Before we get into any more takes, I want to take us back to our first takes episode where we discussed new penalty rules. So we talked about what rules would you change for penalty shootouts.
Yeah.
Saying, I said that I'd like the backroom staff and everyone like going up to the boardroom to take a look, because in a recent Northern Irish Cup game, Ballymena versus Coleraine went to 17-18 on penalties. Everyone took two penalties, and it ended up with a goalkeeper having to miss one after his second time round.
Wait, how many players were on the pitch? Oh, no, but they could have, they could have missed twice, I guess.
Yeah.
Mad. That's fantastic. I mean, that's what you want to see in a penalty shootout, isn't it?
Someone's clicked together the videos of it, and it's clearly at Coleraine, because every time they score or Ballymena miss, it goes, hey! But it's been clipped together, so it's like, hey, oh, hey, hey.
The one guy in the audience crowd.
I've been to Coleraine. It's
one guy.
It's a place.
It's a place. That's it's a place. Saying it. Right, next take. Let's go.
My take is Coleraine is a place.
Disagreed. Take. Go.
Oh, damn.
So we've got... this one comes from a user on Reddit who said, footballers aren't paid too much. They receive a wage proportionate to the money in the industry.
Ooh, this is a bit of a controversial one. The current financial situation of 90% of the UK.
Yeah.
I also can't imagine the Saudi Arabian League actually brings in as much money as they're paying the players.
They're paying players,
No, that's true. I think it's all relative. And one thing I always hate is when people say, that money could go to doctors. It's like, yeah, but it's not the government paying them to play football. It's private consortiums and people spending the money how they want to spend it. And I agree, doctors and stuff should be paid more than footballers. But obviously, like you said, it is comparative to the money that is made in the sport. And the one thing I always think is, if someone complained about it, if someone turned around and said to you, hey, I'm going to pay you an extortion amount of money to kick this over there, you'd be like, yes, done. Thank you.
Yeah, instantly.
Yeah.
I do think money in football is ridiculous now.
Yeah.
Like, it's
the whole thing is ridiculous, isn't it? It's a the way that money spins to the point where now like, even grassroots football games aren't cheap to go to. Like, it's just the way that the whole thing rolls around. But then I suppose it's all comparative to the economic climate of the whole world, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, let's not get bogged down in finances because I don't know enough about it.
Yeah.
And also, it's a bit of a dark topic.
Yeah. Yeah.
The world of finance and the world of sport shouldn't really have to cross. It does because it's real life, but...
I stopped doing maths in 2010 when we finished high school.
It does lead into another take from my dad, who said that there should be a salary cap in place. Because if there's a salary cap in place, then it could lead to tickets being cheaper because you're not having to offset that balance.
Well, perfect example of that is basketball. They have a salary cap. You can't go over it, or you can a little bit. It's called the luxury tax, but then you have to pay that back. But it's it does work, and it also means that the spread of talent is actually better because then you can't just have all the best players on one team because you can't afford to pay them.
Well,
so
is
you
it...
have to distribute the wealth.
But it's basically what American teams do, right? They have a salary
rugby
cap.
Union does the same thing.
Does it? Makes sense. Can we stop saying our dads have sent things in just so that we sound a bit more popular? I mean, I love Mark, I love Chris, but can we change the names?
That's clearly a man who's upset that his dad hasn't sent it in.
Do you not see what I mean?
Here's another take
from my dad, and here's a take from my dad.
I've been collating takes from being on the phone with my dad.
Well, here's a take from Glyn Thomas. The nostalgia.
I don't love you, George.
Isn't very good.
The hottest of takes.
It's not very hot.
I prefer your sister.
We all know. Oh.
Oh, dear.
I don't. I mean, I like Sean, but she's, you know, I'm Team George all the way.
Thank you.
So I've got another take from a user on Reddit who says, and this is just one of the worst ones I've read, and it is, the USA produces the best goalkeepers in the world.
No, move on.
Yeah, just god-awful take.
George, I appreciate your response to that, but if we move on from every take, we're going to run out of takes pretty quick.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair enough.
Snap court, nope, yep, nope, yep.
Who we got? Tim Howard, Brad Friedel.
Marcus Hanneman.
Yeah.
Zach Steffen,
Matt Turner.
Isn't there another one that looks like Brad Friedel?
Casey Keller.
War trackies playing in Germany. Love that.
So there you go. No.
It's debunked very quickly.
Because if
you produce good goalkeepers compared to their other players.
Was the Reddit user called Captain America?
Even if you just go to England and look at keepers over the years that they've put out. David Seaman, Peter Shilton, I was going to say recently and then I remembered it's Jordan Pickford at the moment.
Paul Robinson.
Paul Robinson, yes.
David James.
Denmark.
Schmeichel, no one else.
Thomas Sorensen.
Still better than Thomas.
Hello, there you go.
There we go.
Well, we'll move on from just naming goalkeepers that we know. So, bad take, Captain America. Not for us.
Next take. The US, another Captain America. The USA will win the Men's World Cup one day because they have to be the best at everything.
That doesn't sound like it's from an American. That sounds like from someone who's like salty. Goddamn USA.
I think... If you look at the women's game and how they've dominated that for a long time, I know, granted, they didn't do very well in the Women's World Cup this year, but they have the capacity to do it based sheerly on the numbers and the amount of money in the sport.
They do have that drive as well, don't they? They have that, like that take said, it's like they have to be the best at everything. They have that thing of like, did anyone watch the Redeem Team about the men's basketball where they lost the Olympic Games once? And so they went, nope, right, send Kobe, send LeBron James, send...
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
They're literally doing that again next year. They're running it back and LeBron's getting the dream team together for the next Olympics, which is cool. But yeah, I think
the championship, didn't they, to Germany?
They did. Good basketball knowledge, boys. I think with USA, and this is a sweeping generalization based on my own experience from being there. Yes, yep. I went there. I told you before. So when I was there, the vast majority, and I'd say like 95% of the kids that I saw playing sports were all so finely tuned to basketball, baseball, American football, even hockey, that they do not have like the right coordination to play football. If that makes sense. I don't know, like, it's the way they like move their bodies, because they're all used to be like, all the other American sports are pretty much upper body. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, so that it almost felt like they don't really know how to use their feet, which is, again, a generalization based on what I saw from one individual place, which was a sports camp, but yeah, not particularly big right. soccer camp. And there were some good ones in there, but it's quite funny to see, because the kids are all playing these other sports. When you put someone who plays those sports into football, they're like, no.
I also think the Messi going over to the MLS has been the biggest star going over there since David Beckham. But people seem to be more into it and more into the actual football this time rather than the actual like. And also, Beckham kind of messed LA Galaxy around and.
Yeah, and also Beckham is also there in Miami, so it's like a double hit, isn't it?
Yeah, so I feel like you've probably got more kids watching like soccer games out there.
It's definitely getting bigger, and like if you look at the talent they've got now, like Pulisic, great player for AC, Timothy Weah is a good player, Florian Balogun's good. They've got most good up and comers. Yeah, so they've got some good players, but they don't have any world class players yet, in my opinion.
No,
and honestly, I don't know if they ever have. I don't think you can call Dempsey or Donovan world class. I don't think you can.
No,
they were good
players, but not world class. So, and obviously, you don't actually always have to have world class players in your team to win the World Cup. It's just about that team ethic, I suppose. But I think they're a long, long way off, and I don't think they've got the infrastructure to do it.
Immediately after a World Cup, and for sort of a year and a half after it, they're like, look at all these athletes we've got, they'd be well good, and if we put half as much effort into that, we'd dominate, because look at like, and then they list off like American footballers, and I was like, yeah, but can they kick a ball? Doesn't matter that they're hench as fuck. Look at Messi, he's like what, 2 foot tall,
absolutely jacked.
Yeah,
imagine if USA put out a team one day that just looked like an American football team.
Well, I mean, their best player for a while was Jose Altidore, and he looked like he should be a linebacker.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, they have the capacity to do it, because they have one of the biggest populations in the world, more money than everybody else. The sport infrastructure is there with the collegiate system to do it. It's just whether they do it. The difference is, and someone pointed this out recently, that they don't have like football academies like we do. Like, no, you don't
really do academies at all, do they?
No. So you don't sign for like a club at like six, like a Trent Alexander-Arnold, and work all the way up. You get drafted like you do in the NBA and the NFL.
Yeah.
So you get drafted into teams. So you never have in that consistent like training as you go up through the same club, through the same system, learning the ways of the game. It's just not the same over there. And like they can change that very easily, obviously. But I think it's one of those things where until it changes, they're not going to do it, because they just don't have that infrastructure in place.
It's one of them things that the Wrexham documentary has actually really helped over there, because now they're more into the idea of relegation and promotion and having these clubs that you can build that are the centre of the town, not just a franchise that's just there to sell merch and tickets.
Well, I think that's it, isn't it? It's like the other sports are such big money spinners. It's a bit different to the other sports. Like, it's just not quite the same level. I don't think it will ever be, because of like the history of the sports that they're competing against. It's difficult to do, and all the best athletes, if you just take the physical specimen of an athlete, they all go and play the other sports because they're much higher paid as well in America.
Yeah.
So yeah. No, they will not win the World Cup.
Right, I'm going to move on to the question that I asked at the end of the last Takes episode. I asked, what's the silliest goal that you've ever seen scored? So a goal that's most ridiculous in any way possible and put this out on the EFL subreddits on Reddit, and I got some absolute wonderful, wonderful responses.
So, well, I'll open with mine. So my one was Liverpool-Burnley FA Cup. I think it was 2005, maybe 2006. Just before half-time, ball goes across the middle of the goal. Jimmy Traore, for no reason whatsoever, decides to roulette the ball into his own goal. Literally no one around him. No reason to do it. Just like, yep, got this. Roulette into the goal. And we lost the game 1-0. Remember that vividly. Wearing a yellow kit.
So a lot of them, a lot were own goals. A lot were like freak accidents. So Sunderland, you could actually write another documentary on the ridiculous goals that have been conceded in matches that they have. So let's start with the obvious one. The beach ball incident.
Yeah. Beach ball, yes.
Then we've got a Sunderland goalkeeper, Mark Poom, scoring a flying header.
Yes, love that.
There's a game against, I think it's Arsenal, where Anton Ferdinand smashes the ball straight at Cesc Fabregas' foot, and Cesc scores an accidental 40-yard volley.
Right.
Sunderland defender Santiago Vigini forgetting he was wearing Sunderland's away kit and scoring the sweetest volleyed own goal for Southampton.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Great finish.
There was Jeff Whiteley scoring a 0.1 yard goal by sliding the defender over the goal line to score his first and only ever goal for Sunderland.
Good man.
We've got a no-look pass own goal for Sunderland this time to let them win the championship playoff final against Charlton. And then in a revenge game against Charlton again, Sunderland score 3 own goals in 7 minutes and lose the game 3-1.
Wow. Love to see that.
Essentially, why does anyone support Sunderland?
They make a cracking documentary. The Newcastle fans chant at them, "We saw you cry" on Netflix.
We've got Olaf Melberg assisting the own goal with a throw-in.
Yeah.
Yep.
One of the classic ones.
Manuel Robinson against Croatia.
Yeah, that's got a nice shout out.
Yeah.
The bobble. Crystal Palace against Portsmouth, Tony Popovich scored a Giroud-esque backheel scorpion lob own goal.
Yeah.
I've
watched
goals
in this.
I've watched it so many times. It's the best own goal I've ever seen.
Yeah. The best own goal I ever saw was the one where he lobbed his own keeper.
There's so many of
them. Who did?
Frank Sinclair.
Yeah. Was it from outside
40
the box?
Yards. We've got a few. Like Chris Wood scores for Leicester against Watford when Manuel Almunia just blasts the ball into his face from 10 yards away.
That's the only way Chris Wood's scoring, let's be honest.
I mean, what did we say? The craziest goal you've ever seen?
The silliest. Ones where you're silliest. Like, why is that gone in?
Okay.
Ben Woodburn's goal against Trinidad and Tobago that we saw live.
With the nipple. Go ahead.
With the nipple.
I also think Zlatan's, though, against England.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
That England.
That's silly.
Just because it's silly doesn't mean it hasn't. Bad. Yeah.
On that front as well, then, the Wayne Rooney one against West Ham, where I think it's Fabianski in goal, and when he hits it from the halfway line on the volley.
Adrian, yeah.
It's Adrian, but then he loses crawls. His balance and just falls with his arms by his side into the goal. It's like, mate, your one job is to put your hands in the air. What are you doing?
You got Wrexham goalkeeper Jocelyn Mabey punches the ball into his own net and then blames the defenders.
Yeah, man.
It's always the defender's fault. Every time you see a keeper do something, it's like screaming at them.
Yeah. We had Dean Saunders gets a throw-in, throws it in off a player and then puts in the goal.
Yes.
So he just hits someone else with it and then scores.
As in, hit someone else with it so that it got played back to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's had his back turned, okay. Didn't he? I've seen this. His back's turned. He throws it against the back of the player, then runs. I don't know if you're allowed to do that now. I think they've made that a law. You can't do that. You can't throw it to yourself, can you? That's a thing.
Yeah.
Which is mad.
Yeah. Because you can do that in rugby and stuff. You can throw it into yourself and then keep going. But I assume it's harder in football to do that.
Especially with foul throws being a thing. So you'd have to throw it at least 5 yards and then just sprint after it.
Yeah.
All right. I've got a supplementary question based on this one that people can submit answers to. And you can put this up as a subreddit in. What is the best goal you've ever seen scored by a bang average football player?
Oh, that will be going.
I'll give you mine. Denver and Ball. I genuinely think this might.
Jordan Ayew.
Papi Cissé.
Jordan Ayew. That's what I was going to say. Jordan Ayew's goal for Palace last season, where he does a roulette, a drag back over, and then dinks over the keeper. One of the best goals I've ever seen in my life. The close control, and he is bad at football.
Shifwe Shabalala.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I said about Jimmy Traore before. And I want to give you a second to Google this. Jimmy Traore for Seattle Sounders goal. All you have to type in is that. This man, I'm convinced, didn't have control over his legs for most of the time he's playing in Liverpool, despite the fact he won Champions League and the FA Cup. But he scores an absolute screamer against whoever they're playing in Seattle. And it's literally unbelievable. I watched it and I was like, what? Where have you been hiding that?
Wow. And it's still a very Jimmy Traore first touch, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, son. Don't pretend like you've meant that.
So, listeners, go and find your favourite goal scored by a bang average football player and tell us what it is, and we'll rank them in the next takes episode. Because my number one currently is Jimmy Traore scoring that absolute screamer.
I still think Papa C say that one. Peter Crouch.
Oh,
yeah.
He's
not bang average, he's a good player.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, I've got another Liverpool defender one then. Against QPR, Sebastian Coates overhead kick. Absolutely outrageous goal. The way he strikes it.
Phil Jagielka in the Merseyside
against
derby.
Liverpool.
Oh my God, yeah. Rocket. Yeah. Do you reckon we've got to the point where we can say that James Rodriguez wasn't actually that good of a player, and the one that goal that he scored for Colombia just rocketed his career to places it shouldn't have gone? No, actually, to be fair, he had a great tournament all round.
Yeah, he did. He did. The name's Bond, James Rodriguez. Famous article from that World Cup. As mentioned on one of our previous episodes. I think that's actually the title of an episode we did.
Yeah. It is the title of an episode, pretty sure.
But yeah, so for the next takes episode, Owen will get it on the subreddit. Send us your best ever goals scored by bang average players. And we'll call it the Jimmy Traore Award. Here we mow again. It's November, which means it is Movember, and we have become Mostalgia FC. We've changed our podcast logo and everything this year. But more importantly, we will be growing some mustaches in the aid of Movember, trying to raise some awareness and some cash, if you can, for this wonderful cause, all centered around men's health. Now, they can explain it much better than I can. So if you head to our socials, head to the link in the bio, you will find a link to our Movember page, which tells you all about why we're doing this, what it's all about, how you can get involved, how you can help. You can donate there, you can learn more. There's links, there's everything you could ever need in regards to Movember on that website. So head to our socials, follow the link, and get involved with Movember at Mostalgia FC. Give us a couple more.
Someone has said that the best name for a stadium is Livingston's FCs. It's named after Scottish Italian restaurant chain Tony Macaroni's. It is the Tony Macaroni Stadium and is nicknamed the Spaghetti Had.
We both just wheezed at that. That's Spaghetti Had. I love that.
That's so good.
Tony, what the heck's Tony Macaroni's? Is that a chain?
It's an Italian restaurant chain in Scotland, apparently. I had to Google it because I thought it was Tony a guy used to play for him called Tony Macaroni.
Who sent that in? Massimo's or was that one brother. You found?
I found that's what I found.
Spaghetti had. I mean, spaghetti had. That's so clever.
Just imagine that in a Scottish accent, though.
Spaghetti had.
Your dad plays for that spaghetti.
That was pretty good. Your dad sells Avon and he plays at the spaghetti head.
Your dad sells Avon.
All right, well, I don't know how we top that. What was the question? Is there a better named stadium? Because no.
It's what are the best bits of banter you've heard from opposition fans? And it's calling the Tony Macaroni the spaghetti head.
I mean, other great bits of banter, the United fans chanting, at Erling Haaland, Erling, how's your dad? Erling, how's your dad? Very good.
I actually do like whenever any, like if it's England versus Wales or anything like that, we always obviously get sheep shouts. Even if it's like an English football club playing a team in Wales. And then the response is always, we know what we are. We know what we are. Sheep-shagging bastards. We know what we are. It kind of just shuts them up. I love it.
Because there's some banter that's just awful. Like, I hate the term Farmers League.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This Pinaldo and Pessy thing, I don't get it. It doesn't make sense
good
to
fellas,
me.
Isn't he?
Yeah, that's Pessy, not Pessy.
All right, sorry.
One of the best bits of banter in football between fans is the Arsenal chant.
What do we think of shit? Tottenham?
Yeah. Shit. That's, what do we think great. Of shit? Tottenham. Thank you. That's all right. We hate Tottenham.
I've got a very niche one. So, Colwyn Bay, we're playing Holywell Town in the Cymru Premier, the Cymru North last season. And the chants were going back and forth. And one chant was about Colwyn Bay. You're just a town full of pigeons. Despite the fact that Colwyn Bay's nickname is the Seagulls. So that was a dig at the avian variety. And then the Colwyn Bay fans came back with, and this is very niche if you don't know the area, Holywell is near a place called Flint. And the Colwyn Bay fans just chanting, you're just a bus stop in Flint. You're just a bus stop in Flint. It's so petty. I love it. It's so good.
My favourite thing about that game was Colwyn Bay fans chanting, you've seen the champions, now fuck off home, and then lost.
Yeah. Yep. Still won the league, though. Fantastic bit of banter there. That's a nice bit of banter, though, when they're going back and forth and they're being creative about it.
Yeah.
Let's pretend we scored a goal is always funny as well.
Yeah.
Back with an actual take.
Go on.
This one comes from an anonymous user on Reddit. Jose Mourinho has ruined football for casual viewers with park the bus and defensive tactics.
What?
That's bullshit.
But not
play football. Not everyone,
yeah, but not everyone uses that.
Yeah.
That's coming from P. Guardiola from Manchester. I think Jose Mourinho, I mean, he does what he does, but he does it well. You can't argue with his record. Fair play. He hasn't succeeded everywhere, but he made United look good for a bit, which
he has.
On recent viewing is quite difficult.
Apart from Roma, that I know.
No, Spurs. Apart from Spurs, he's won at least one trophy with every club he's been at.
Yeah.
I think I love Jose. I think he's great.
Yeah.
One of my favorite podcasts, Stadio. One day we will get them on this podcast.
Well, they know who you are.
They do. They George got me a nice little video message. They know who I am. Stadio podcast.
That sounded quite
they
good.
They know who I am. Anyway, there you go.
Right.
You've been singing to Etienne, haven't you?
Music career coming soon.
That's how you lullabies him to sleep.
Just you chance.
Know who I am.
I am your dad. You know who I am.
Oh, there's the title of the episode. If only George's dad was singing to him. Just full disclaimer, George's dad is great. He just doesn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah. But George's mum listens to the podcast, so that's
true, yeah.
She does, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
She's going to be nudging Glyn tonight.
Your mum loves you. That's
nudging
Glyn
going, you've got to listen now.
I think he does. He just listens to the odd one here and there. He doesn't like...
Well, let's hope this isn't the odd one he listens to. So, well, as I was saying before I started singing.
Jose's great. His tactics doesn't
Stadio,
matter.
Stadio.
If you
Stadio.
Don't like it.
Stadio. Yeah, so they describe Jose Mourinho as if someone gave Prosecco to a cobra. Because of his chaotic energy, so it's just like he's hissing in the corner. Someone gives him a few bits of Prosecco, then all of a sudden he's like, nobody does the leaping off the bench better than Jose Mourinho. There's the one, I think it's when he's United manager, where
Spurs manager
sat with his arms closed, not arsed at all. His assistant starts going mad, and he's like, get over there.
It's because they're laughing about something, aren't they? Or something like that.
They're just like discussing tactics or something.
No, because it's like a foul and it should have been a second yellow for someone and they're laughing that they won the free kick and whatever. And then the realization of, wait, he should have got a second yellow. So then it's just straight up to like, but it literally goes from laughing to.
But if you look just after that clip, isn't it? They just sit down and they're all arms crossed again. Like it didn't happen.
Yeah.
He's just like he must have the worst disciplinary record of any manager, but he's the pantomime villain that you need in football to keep it interesting. So yeah. I'm glad he's still in the game and I think he's great.
Yeah.
Bring us home.
Defensive
what we got.
Tactics one wins games.
That's true.
One last one, less of a take, more of a little bit of a little debate for us. What is the weird reason that footballers were not rated fairly? So like everyone thought Beckham wasn't actually that good because he's a good looking fella. So they're like, he can't be that good. He's just there to look pretty.
And that's wrong. Beckham was a great player.
Beckham was,
Staying on the United theme, Fabian Barthez, because he pulled his shorts up like some weird guy.
Every free kick. It was like, oh, he knows what he's doing.
What are you doing? Strange man.
He knows what he's doing.
Roy Keane? People don't rate him as, don't say he's that good a football player because
they just say he's terrifying.
He's actually a fantastic football player.
If we're sticking to the United theme from our last episode or whenever the episode was, Gary Neville, because Jamie Carragher made that one quote and now Gary Neville says he wasn't a good player.
Yeah. Well, I've actually got the perfect one. I'm just going to get stats up here for you. Emil Heskey.
Yeah, he's become a bit of a meme, isn't he?
Yeah, he's,
That guy was the kind of striker that other strikers thrived off of to the point where Michael Owen won a Ballon d'Or, and a lot of people attribute that Ballon d'Or to the effect of Emil Heskey.
That sort of partnership is so... It's like people think it's outdated in football these days, like because you had Heskey and Owen, Crouch and Defoe, Sutton and Shearer, they were a bit like that as well, weren't they? Because Shearer was a stronger one. And then Sutton could run onto him.
Yeah, I think he gets like said that he's a bad player because it was the end of his career, but he was a great player. He's a very athletic player. I think he was a much better hold-up striker than many in the modern game. And I think he gets tarred with the brush of being a bad player just because it's banter. But actually, he's pretty good.
Harry in a similar Maguire? Vein to that, Peter Crouch, because he does his podcasts and the TV personality that Peter Crouch comes across as, people sort of forget that he was a really good footballer. 100 Premier League goals.
Yeah.
For like a million clubs.
That's the same with Jimmy Bullard. He's a much better player than people give him credit for. Yeah. Robbie Savage? No. Not that one. Vinny Joe? No, not him either. Pele? No.
I'm trying to think now.
Bad reasons that people think players are bad. Who's had the terrible haircut that's distracted people from their performance?
Paul Pogba.
Paul Pogba, yeah. I mean,
he was bad though. He wasn't great.
He was just lazy, wasn't he? More than anything.
Yeah.
Still playing. Nance still is.
He's not. He's,
I think he's injured, isn't he? Oh, one of the two.
Yeah, but he's not retired. He's still an active footballer, isn't he?
Yeah.
If you want to call him that. But, yeah, I think...
Can you think of any other players that had mad haircuts other than Beckham and Pogba?
Beckham's weren't actually that mad.
No. Well, no. I mean, the cornrows, that's a mad cultural appropriation.
Okay, yeah. The cornrows wasn't great. But, like, compared to some of the ones we have seen on this, like, people have picked people with crazy haircuts.
Yeah, like Carlos Valderrama.
Yeah.
Giannis Hagi. The whole Romania squad from the 98 World Cup. Aaron Ramsey at the Euros.
Yeah, that was
Aaron
good.
Ramsey at the World Cup.
Oh, so his kids could recognise him. And then everyone else dyed their hair blonde and it was like, well, sorry.
you spoil it. Freddie Ljungberg when he dyed his hair red. That's pretty rough.
There was a point this year, wasn't there, where the whole United team just turned up and they all had like bleach blonde hair and it was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Not a great look for them.
Which footballers have had the worst trim? New question.
There you go. Get that up there. That's another subreddit for you. So best goals by bad players and bad trims for any player. Send them in.
Bobby Charlton. I mean, rest in peace, but...
Yeah.
Awful trim.
Awful trim. Well, that seems like a good place to end this bad boy. So remember, if you think of a player with a bad trim or a bad player that scored good goals, send them in. We're going to do the Jimmy Traore Award and then, we'll go from there.
Jimmy Traore Award. I love it.
So thanks again for anyone that sent in.
Charlie Adams.
Is he related to Charlie Adam?
Yeah. His cousin.
There's two of them.
Charlie Adams, what's he done?
He's scored some incredible goals in his time.
All right, he's got a bad trim as well.
Yeah, there you go.
He looked 45 from the age of 20.
Sorry, carry on.
Shouts out to anyone who submitted any takes that are not our immediate fathers. immediate fathers, as opposed to our
sideways fathers.
Sideways fathers.
Sideways fathers. What do you mean?
I don't know. That was right, the only word for non-immediate that I could think of.
Sideways.
Sideways.
So you're like, what? Down here. And they're like, immediately? No, sideways.
They walk to you like a crab. Yeah?
Well.
Your dads don't do that.
To be fair, I can imagine your dad would do that, so that's not out of the realms of possibility. All right, anyway, this has been a shambles. Thanks again for listening. This is our third Takes episode. We look forward to next week. Building up to Christmas, we'll have some other fun episodes, some fun concepts coming your way. We'll have a very special Christmas episode, as we always do. And then we might finish off the year with a bit of a nostalgic awards ceremony. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Hey,
yeah,
bit of fun. So as always, if you want to check us out on social media, you can do
at Nostalgia FC Pod on Instagram, X, TikTok, Facebook, and you can email us at nostalgiafcpod@gmail.com.
And if you want to submit some takes,
you can submit them on all of the socials that George has just mentioned, or you can go onto Reddit and it's the user Rough Football Takes. Just send us a direct message there. Or find the subreddit Nostalgia FC Takes.
That's it. Thanks again for listening. Join us again next week. Love to you all. Stay safe out there. It's a mean world. That was Takes Volume 3 from Nostalgia FC. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh my God. Is that Santa?
No, you idiot. You're 29 years old. It's time to grow up. Are you tired of getting Lynx Africa and socks for Christmas? Well, have we got the thing for you? It's Nostalgia FC with a great Christmas shirt swap.
You get a shirt. You give a shirt. It's as simple as that.
If you want to get involved, just slide right into our DMs.
Merry Christmas.
I didn't give you any more lines. Why are you still talking?